Welcome to Steppin' Out, a reality radio show where you'll hear real people sharing their true stories of what it was like to go over the edge and find their way back. And now, Steppin' Out.
And welcome back. You're listening to America's 12-Step Radio Show. This is Steppin' Out. In case you just joined us, we have our guests in from Clutterers Anonymous, and we're learning quite a bit. I mean, this has been a real eye-opener for us here in the studio tonight. Next up, we have our guest, Roberto. Roberto, how you doing?
Oh, great.
Good. Thanks for coming down. And, you know, I guess you heard, you know, what Bob was talking about before. And what really struck me was that it was this inability to get started. You know, how things would just mount up in his life, and he just couldn't seem to get free of it. And apparently this fellowship is out there to help you kind of get free of that mess. Tell me, when did you start knowing that you didn't have a normal relationship with stuff?
Well, until I spoke to a friend that ran a Clutterers Anonymous group, I knew I had a clutter problem, but he kind of like hit the nail on the head.
What did he say?
He said that he was a clutterer and he was in Clutterers Anonymous, and I figured, you know, I have this terrible problem too. I mean, I knew I had a problem with clutter, but it kind of like I didn't hit the nail on the head. And it's just something that I live with all my life, and I've been a clutterer since I've been a child.
Well, let's go back to your childhood. What do you remember as a child in relationship to being a clutterer?
Well, as a child, I remember I didn't pick up my clothes.
Okay.
The toys were all over the place. I remember I collected a lot of baseball cards, and they were all over the place. And that's, by the way, one piece of clutter I wish I had. If I had those Mickey Mantle baseball cards, maybe I wouldn't have to work anymore.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, doing homework at night, not putting the books away, and then going crazy in the morning, where's my arithmetic homework? So this is something that I had since day one.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, as time progressed, I mean, what did you start hoarding certain things? I mean, was there... Did you think that there was value in stuff that there wasn't value in?
Oh, sure. I hoarded old magazines.
Okay.
I'm an accountant, and I save trade magazines. I'm starting to get rid of them, trade magazines from like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
If I see an article in the newspaper, I'll just like put it aside. That's an interesting article. Put the newspaper away, and then when I'm going through stuff, maybe a year later, not knowing why I put that newspaper away, or it could be videotaping programs off when I'm not home off the television set, and then never looking at it, never labeling it, and having stacks of tapes that I don't know what's on. Some of it from 20 years ago. So I guess you could say I'm a hoarder of magazines, newspapers, VCR tapes.
Okay. And when did you start getting a sense that it wasn't really... It was a little more than messy. I mean, this isn't just about being messy. This is not being able to get rid of or not being able to commit to making a decision to get rid of stuff.
Well, I guess I was always aware of it, but it really didn't until I spoke to a friend about who belonged to CLA. That's when it really hit me. You know, I never really thought of having much of a problem, but now that I look back, I have a problem hoarding things, not throwing things away.
Okay.
Slews of junk mail piled up.
Okay. Are you married?
No, I'm single.
Okay. Have you ever lived with anyone else?
Just my parents.
Okay.
Basically.
Were they ever like, hey, you got to clean this up? I mean, like,
not that much, because basically they're clutterers too.
Oh, are they? Okay.
I'm from a clutter. From a clutter family. My parents are clutters. My other brother is a clutterer, and I guess it's the way we got brought up.
Was it this fear that if you threw something out, like, you wouldn't be able to get it again? Or, like, I mean, what was the fear that kept you hanging out the stuff that didn't have any value? I mean, like, why would you keep an old trade magazine, an old accountant trade magazine, if the information is really no longer relevant?
I always say, you know, maybe someday I'll need that or something. And in reality, it's, as Bob, the first Bob was on here, he said something about having something 8 years, maybe once looking at it, once in a blue moon, maybe I'd have to find something from 10 years ago or 12 years ago, but it's rare. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
So it's always, maybe I'll need this someday.
Okay. Have you ever really needed that stuff? Have you ever found
Probably not, because the times I did have to flip back, I could have probably got it someplace else.
So it wasn't worth the effort of keeping?
No.
Okay. Where did you keep all the stuff?
Well, as far as like accounting magazines, I'm in with another accountant. We're partners, and it's like—
Is he a clutterer?
Yes.
He is.
In fact, if you want to know, he has one side of the building. I have the other side of the building. He has two rooms. I have two rooms we don't use. He doesn't use one room. I don't use one room. Because that's where we keep our clutter, and we don't let the clients see those rooms. And then the rooms that we work in are like halfway decent.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
So, but basically, I kept things in accounting magazines and stacks and basically never threw them away. I'm starting now to throw them away.
You are. Is it painful?
Not as painful as I thought.
Yeah.
But no, it is. It is a little bit painful.
It is. It is. What's the fear?
I guess the fear is figuring someday, if I throw this away, then that's the moment I'm going to need something. I think we've all had, when we were a child, we threw something away or something, and then we needed it or wanted it 6 months, a year, 2 years later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I definitely can identify with you, and I think a lot of people who are listening tonight can, because, you know, I'm sure there were periods, you know, when we were kids where we got rid of stuff we shouldn't have got rid of, and maybe that left an indelible impression upon us. So that's why I'm kind of wondering, you know, what sets you apart from the average, you know, pack rat. You know, this is obviously something that's a little bit more than, you know, just hoarding stuff. There's something at the core here. Are you a member of any other 12-step fellowships?
No, this is the only one that I belong to.
Okay, so you never had any problems with drugs or alcohol or anything like that?
No, this is probably the only problem I've ever had, except for eating junk foods like French fries that I'm addicted to. And I have high cholesterol, so the doctor says, like, I got to get rid of all that stuff. But so maybe there's a group for people eating junk food out there. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, you know what? Tell us a little bit more about what it was like growing up as a clutterer amongst clutterers. I mean, you probably didn't know that was anything wrong if that's how your family was, right?
There was usually more clutter in our house than when I went over to another kid's house and played. So I figured there's something wrong with us.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
What were their houses like and what was your house like? Give me a snapshot of your home.
Well, you know, like, especially in the cellar, there's boxes full of, like I'm saying, old magazines, old clothes that could have been thrown away. And even in the living room had some boxes. And when I went over to friends' houses, usually most of them, there was friends that were clutterers too, but most of them, everything was nice and neat.
Mm-hmm. And, but, I mean, in your house, everything was always boxes and stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah. How was it... you know, how is it, when you talk to your folks now, okay, do they acknowledge that they're clutterers?
Basically, no.
Okay, do they know that you're seeking help for this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, do they have any idea that maybe they might? I mean, does it, you know, give them even a little?
See, my mother says my father's a clutterer. My father says my mother's a clutterer.
Okay,
but
I see.
You know what I mean? They don't want to admit that they are.
No,
so.
They can't cop to it, huh?
No.
Okay, all right. So, you know, tell me a little bit more about your story. I mean, where are we going next?
How I'm going to deal with this, you mean, in the future? Well, I've been a member now for approximately 3 years. And, I mean, I'm still a very bad clutterer, but I'm improving. One thing they teach you at Clutterers Anonymous is to get rid of your new stuff while you chip away at your old stuff.
Okay.
And when I get junk mail, most of it doesn't get open. It's just like, because I get plenty of junk mail at home, catalogs and stuff. And in my office, being an accountant, I get things for all kinds of courses and books. And it's just like into the garbage pail, except maybe occasionally you get a pornographic thing you want to take a quick look at. But basically, it's just everything is chucked away, you know. My problem is chipping away at the old stuff that goes back years and years and years.
Okay. Okay. And do you find relief in getting rid of this stuff, or do you find it?
I find it, we're really told in Clutters Anonymous we're supposed to spend 15 or 20 minutes every day cleaning up, and I try to do that, and sometimes I kind of like fall down.
Uh-huh.
But like basically I'm an accountant, and I just got through tax time, and that's when I fell down and wasn't cleaning up the the clutter every day, but there's certain days where I spend maybe a few hours and I got rid of a lot of stuff and I felt good. It's like, oh, I can see a dent in the clutter.
So they tell you 15, 20 minutes a day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you religiously doing it now?
I can't say religiously doing it, but probably most days that I am.
Okay.
And I do, it's I guess like an alcoholic maybe falling off the wagon.
Okay.
I don't do it every day.
Okay.
Maybe 5 days or 6 days out of seven.
All right. All right. Well, it's progress. It's progress. We are sitting with Roberto, and Roberto was telling us a little bit about what it was like, you know, growing up in a household full of clutterers. He's managed to find a job where he's working next to a clutterer. You know, one of the questions that came up during the break was, I mean, this obviously has an effect on personal relationships. Is it hard finding, you know, or is it hard relating to other people who are not clutterers when you're a clutterer?
I believe it is. I'm going out with a woman now who's got a studio apartment, and she's not a clutterer at all.
Okay.
And if we get married, I know I'm going to have to clean up my act.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about cleaning up your act. I mean, how long ago did you come into Clutterers Anonymous?
Approximately 3 years ago.
3 years ago. And I take it you went through the 12 steps as suggested?
Well, I haven't made it through all 12 steps.
Okay.
I'm working on a few of the lower ones because some of the, I don't know if everybody's made it through all 12 steps that's here.
Okay. So you are – and
I'm a recovering clutterer.
Okay, so you are. You are a recovering clutter. Okay. And are you – I guess the question I have for you is, moving forward, are you going to be able to get free of this if you follow the 12 steps of Clutterers Anonymous?
I believe someday that I will. The thing is, when you're a clutterer and you're, I'm 47 years old and you've been a clutterer for your entire life, boy, it takes a long time to get through that old clutter.
I gotcha. And they say, you told us before that they suggest that you do about 15 minutes a day of cleaning?
That's correct.
Okay. And you had mentioned about setting up systems so you wouldn't attract new clutter?
That's right.
Okay.
I'm doing pretty well with the new clutter.
You're doing well with the new clutter. Okay.
That's correct.
All right. Bob, you were talking a little bit before about some of the systems that you set up that work well for you. What were the things that you set up that you that helped you get free of this bondage of stuff?
Well, first, I have to learn how to do the basic thing, like we're talking about getting started.
Okay.
Or doing simple decluttering routines. And it wasn't until I had read a book on it. Julia Morgenstern had a book where she talked about a very simple decluttering thing where you throw out some stuff, you keep others, and you could do make a decision on the stuff for the other thing.
Okay.
And that to me, that was a big revelation. It may sound simple to other people, but before that, I just sit in front of a pile of clutter and didn't know what to do.
And you just stare at it?
And then just get more confused because all the stuff had to go in different places. So once I had some kind of a system like that, and then as time went on, I've developed more systems and also ways to get started. When I was in a 12-step group in California, it was a men's stag, and they had a problem-solving thing. And somebody brought up a thing how to deal with paperwork. Another guy came up with a solution that he handled paperwork by fiddling with it. He just sit down, and he didn't have to finish anything on it. He just sit there and look at a page, then look at another page. And what that process does is get you started without having to have a sense of completion. Because I always think I'm finishing the thing. Like my feet are at the starting line, but my head's at the finish line, and that's no good.
I got you.
And this by filling it. So then I practiced that, and it got me through a lot of graduate-level papers. And that's one of the core things I do, and I recommend to other people, or other people do something like that. They'll take 5 minutes. They'll declutter for 5 minutes where they don't have to complete anything, but it's something they can...
Sure, kind of like the 15 minutes that Clutterers Anonymous recommends as well.
Yeah, and
okay.
That's even more...
Like a daily discipline of just doing a little bit, not expecting a lot as far as results, just saying, I'm committing this time to getting some of this out of the way.
Right, or for any project. So you can use it over many times a day, actually, if you have to do this project.
Let me ask
project.
You this question, though, as it relates to Clutterers Anonymous. Roberto had said that, you know, it's 3 years into this thing, he hasn't gotten through the 12 steps yet. Have you gone through the 12 steps in Clutterers Anonymous?
No.
No. Okay. Is it mandatory that you go through the 12 steps in Clutterers Anonymous?
It's not mandatory in any 12-step group. It's recommended.
It's highly suggested.
It's always recommended, yeah.
Okay.
Now, I've done writing on it in... But I haven't gone through officially each step. You're right.
Okay. No, I'm just curious how it works. Because when we had other folks in here, I'm wondering, like, he's about to, you know, get Roberto's about to, you know, hopefully advance this relationship with this lady friend of his. You know, you know, how do you make it work? You know, that's what I'm trying to get at here. How do you make it work in a non-cluttered world? You know, how does it work?
Well, for me, I keep on getting better at this. So I'm getting, I feel like I'm starting to get on top of it now. I'm not totally on top of it, but I figure out ways to like the desk. I said that was a tough thing. I've worked on it a number of times, and I get it set up, and then it starts cluttering up again. But each time I do it, it's at a higher level. I have more stuff. You know, at first, I had to set up a lot of filing systems for put stuff because I didn't have places to put the thing. So when you did that, and then I set up action files that didn't really work that well for me at first. Then I had to go back to it again. And every 6 months or a year or so, I'll go back to it, and then I'm at a higher level. And so right now I feel like I'm moving forward with it. And so I'm like, my life is starting to move forward more. Before, it felt like it was being held back.
I gotcha. Now you're doing, you said you do public speaking on this?
Yes.
You do. And you're a performance coach, as I understand it?
Right. I was a therapist for 20 years and now I'm a performance coach.
Okay. Would you like me to give out the email address for contact?
I don't know that we should on this. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
You know what? I see why. Yeah, yeah. It would include your name, and I think we're going to stay away from that
I don't care about that, but actually pulling this into a professional thing
absolutely.
Is kind of a...
But I think it's interesting that this has gotten you to that point where you're that passionate about, you know, wanting to help others that you've now taken this to the next level.
Yeah, because I've been interested in this all my life and organizing myself. When I was younger, I got into the Ben Franklin thing where you worked on a new thing for each 13 different areas of your life for a week at a time. And actually organization was part of it, you know, have a place for everything in its place. But I was never able to know how to do that until I got in Clutters Anonymous. I needed, because that sounds good, but to be able to put it into action is different.
Sure, sure.
And in fact, I tried to, it says eat not to dullness and drink not to elevation until I got into Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't have to do that either.
Right.
In fact, I think with Ben Franklin's, he had these 13 virtues. There's 12 step groups for every one of those nowadays.
Yeah.
And, so I've always been into that. So it's been an exciting thing for me. And I had to figure out where I really want to specialize. And it made sense because I love this stuff and I keep on moving forward with it. And so it's more I go into myself, the more I have to give away.
I gotcha. And Roberto, I mean, was the hardest part getting started, like he had said before, you know, like Bob had said?
Oh, yeah, the hardest part is getting started.
Okay.
Even every day, it's like I got to motivate myself to spend 15 or 20 minutes every day. That's not easy either.
Okay. And do you guys have sponsors? Do they suggest sponsors in your fellowship? Or
oh yeah, sponsors and mentors.
And mentors, okay. Okay, and what's it like now for you, Roberto? I mean, you know, you said that you got this relationship kind of on the horizon, and you know, things are improving. It sounds like
yeah.
Well, what's it like now? I mean,
well, I have a long ways to go. Like I'm saying, I'm in recovery, but not fully recovered, and I think I'm getting a lot better. But the problem is it's hard to motivate myself to go through old clutter.
Okay.
And there's somewhat, like I'm saying, 47 years worth of old clutter that it's not easy to go through.
Is it because you just can't get started? Is it because you don't know where to start?
That's true too.
Like, because Bob, you were saying it's really trying to just find a spot to start and just kind of chew away at it a little bit, right? I mean, is that the stuff that you were?
That's one way to do it. That's a very powerful way. But there's something else that seems to happen is that, you know, we develop a good habit. We developed a bad habit of leaving stuff piled up and just get there. And it's just like a very strong thing that it's hard to break through. Somehow to really break through that thing, takes something to do that. Now, sometimes you just sit there and, like you said, all you have to do is sit in front of it and do something real simple. That's really cool. But
sure.
It's harder than you think. And I know in sports psychology, they have a concept of excelling at the basics and the basic fundamentals. You keep on practicing those and excel at them. And so if you can do that to get started, like that fiddling with it or do 5 minutes of stuff, just sit in front of a pile or whatever you're doing and practice that time after time, then it gets so it's a lot easier to sit in front of that stuff. So it's not so intimidating. You don't have these overwhelming things. You say, oh, I don't want to do that. Just move off to something else. I'll watch TV or whatever you're going to do.
Sure.
So it's a thing to really worthwhile, pays off big time to get it, to excel at that.
Sure. How often do you both go to meetings?
We have actually had two meetings in my area, actually one in my area, so that's only one of this type of meeting. I go to several other meetings
a week, too. But for Clutters Anonymous,
you know, we meet once a week.
Once a week?
I try to get there every week, but I have a little, about 45-minute rides.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, so far it's been helping?
Yeah, because a little bit of it's hypnotic because you read different rules on how to act and how do you know you're a clutterer. And sometimes when you come out of here the next day, you really want to you get up in the morning and you really start hacking away at your clutter.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you both very much, Bob, Roberto. I appreciate you coming down and sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. You are listening to America's 12-Step Radio Show. My name is Drew, and this is Stepping Out.